If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 57 as we continue our series in the Gospel of Luke. This morning, the message right before Luke chapter 2, which is the birth of Jesus, we have the birth of John the Baptist. And God's Word says this in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 57. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth. And she bore a son, and her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives are called by this name." And they made signs to the father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke blessing to God, and fear came all to their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid it up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was on him." It was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he prophesied, he proclaimed, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, and that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, to the oath that he swore to his father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord and prepare the way to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in the spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance in Israel. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this passage as we desire to learn, God, from your word, from both Zechariah and from Elizabeth, a desire to honor you in everything that they have. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So a while back, I believe it was September or October, I did a parenting module. And in that parenting module, I had a question that I read in a book on parenting called God's Grand Vision for the Home. It was written by Rob Reinow. He's a prominent author and godly writer in regards to parenting and things like that. The question I asked in our parenting module, when I asked the group of people who were there at the class, one of the questions he asked was this, and I'll put it up on the screen here. It says, "When your son or your daughter leaves your home someday, which one of the following would you most want for them?" And he lists A, to be successful academically, B, to be successful athletically, C, to be successful socially, and D, to be a person of faith and character. Now, it's kind of a loaded question because all you godly parents out there are saying, of course the answer is D, right? Right? So he followed up the next question with this. Which of the following parenting issues gets the best of your time, your effort, your money, your anxiety, and your planning? A, academics. B, athletics. C, social life. And D, the faith and character development. He goes on to say, personally rank these in the amount of time you spend developing in your child. And everyone in the class, like myself, was cut to the heart. See, the world we live in wants to influence everything in your life. From the raising of your children, and to what we think is most precious to us, what's most important in all of our lives. The way we are taught is often our traditions, what has been passed on from our families or from the world that we live in, which have a huge influence in the way we live our actions. We hear things like, it's the way we always did it. That's how I was taught. Jesus saw a problem with this. In Matthew chapter 15, when he was speaking to the religious leaders, he says, the Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. He answered them, and why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But if you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what would you have gained from me is given to God. He need not honor his father. So for the sake of your traditions, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, which he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching doctrines and commandments of men. Paul also had a problem when we put traditions of bread in front of God. In Colossians 2, verse 8, he said this. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. From our passage this morning, we can get an insight into Zechariah and Elizabeth, these godly parents, and their son John, their firstborn son John, who was promised to them by the angel Gabriel through God's word after they were well past the age of conception, which would normally take place. I want to address, I think, three things just even this morning that we can learn, not only as parents, as we had this kids celebration, as we see these kids come up here, which we love to do, but going forward, what does God want to teach us, parents? And if you're not parents, just what God wants to teach us in general. From Zechariah and Elizabeth. The first thing that I see, it's really found in the first few verses 57 through 66 is this. Follow God's word, not your traditions. Remember back in Luke chapter 1 when Gabriel addressed Zechariah in the temple? He said this in verse 13. He said, and the angel said to Zechariah, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call him John. Verse 19, and the angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I am sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which were fulfilled in their time. God used the angel Gabriel to deliver his word to Zechariah, that he would have a son and he would name him John. Zechariah, in our passage this morning, was not going to make the same mistake twice. See, in verse 59, we see a little bit about tradition that was carried out by the Jewish people. It said on the eighth day, this was the day in which they were required to circumcise their children. We read in Genesis 21:4 that this was just customary. Abraham circumcised his son, which was on the eighth day, when he was 8 years old. This was something they did. Okay? The name of the child was typically a name given by the father. Zechariah would have named the child. This was a tradition that they passed on. And yet, they called him John. The word John means God is gracious. This was the name that the angel Gabriel, through God's word, said that they would name him. And they followed through. Verse 61, again, the tradition comes in as these people are putting pressure on John, on Elizabeth, and they're putting pressure on Zechariah. It says, none of your relatives, verse 61, none of your relatives is called by John, you weirdos. You're breaking tradition. See, the Jewish tribes and families kept a distinct line in their names. This was tradition. It kept with genealogical tables and lineages, but it was not commanded by God. It was a tradition. Traditions can be great, but they can also get in the way of honoring God. Do you know the difference? So many things that our kids... There's so many things that we do with our kids are meant to help them, but they're possibly hurting them. If the world is telling you how to raise your children, then you might be in trouble. Zechariah and Elizabeth show us that they are to follow God's word, not their tradition. There are so many distractions in this world, so many things that are keeping you from delivering God's word to your children, your greatest responsibility. Whether you have children or not, your responsibility is to follow God's word, not the traditions of this world. I remember early on when my daughter was in soccer. And I know this is going to rub people a little bit wrong, but that's what I do. But the coach gave me a schedule and showed me that all the games were going to be on Saturday, and then half the games were going to be on Sunday morning. Now, if you know me, I'm not that competitive. I don't really care about sports. I had a dilemma. See, I want my kids to be really good in sports. Because I'm getting old and I got to live vicariously through them. But I remember being convicted to the heart as me and my wife talked about that I would go to the coach and tell him my kids aren't going to play on Sunday mornings. because they need to hear God's word. The coach went to me and he said, "I'm so thankful you're doing this. I wish more parents would do it. We wouldn't have it on Sundays if it were so." Now, I'm not meant to convict you. Yeah, I am. See, the world wants to influence us, doesn't it? The world wants to tell us what's most important, doesn't it? And yet Zechariah and Elizabeth, feeling the pressure of their family, feeling the pressure of their friends, feeling the influence of the world, they decided to follow God's word. They weren't going to make the same mistake twice. And God blessed them for it. The second thing I see from God's word is this, that Zechariah proclaimed God's word, not his traditions. We see in verses 67 through 75, as Zechariah, in verse 67, and it says, "And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied." It wasn't enough for Zechariah and Elizabeth to tell their family what God had told them to do. It wasn't enough. Zechariah wanted to tell everyone. He prophesied. The word is proclaimed. What did Zechariah proclaim? What was he so excited about? That he had this good-looking boy with curly hair? That he was 20 inches tall? He had long arms? Zechariah, like Mary before in her Magnificat we learned last week, Zechariah, like Mary, were Jews. And they had been taught their whole life that God would fulfill his promise through the Davidic and the Abrahamic covenants. And Zechariah was witnessing it. He says, "Blessed," verse 68, "blessed." Some of your translations say, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." The word prophecy or prophesied is really a foretelling. He is foretelling that Jesus would come and that his son would be preparing the way. What was Zechariah praising God for? Look at some of these words in verse 68, 69, 71, 72, 74. Look at this. He says in 68, "redeemed his people." 69, "salvation for us." 71, "we should be saved." 72, "he has shown mercy." And 74, "being delivered." Your child, your coworker, your neighbor, your brother, your sister need to know about Jesus. Zechariah and Elizabeth knew what was important about their son's birth. And they wanted to make Jesus famous through it. People need to know what is most important in your life. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it is your salvation. Your redemption. Your salvation. You are saved. God has shown mercy on you, and you have been delivered from the wrath of God. That is something to tell people. What does your children think is most important in your life? Do they think Jesus is the most important thing in your life? Zechariah made it sure that he would proclaim God's word to everyone who would hear it. On Sunday mornings, do you think people think we worship Jesus or the NFL? Do your kids think your job is more important than Jesus? Your hobbies? We learn from Zechariah and Elizabeth that proclaiming God's word, not their traditions, is what's most important. The third thing that I see, not only did he follow God's word, not only did they show us an example by following God's word, not their examples or not their traditions, proclaimed God's word, not their traditions. Finally, they dedicated everything to God, not to their traditions. Look at verses 76 through 80 with me. Now he turns his attention to his child, speaking to his little son, John. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, and to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Zechariah recognized that John the Baptist would be God's. He would be God's prophet. He would go before the Lord Jesus and prepare the way. This child of Zechariah and Elizabeth was not theirs. But God's. When John grew up, his dad, Zechariah, put in writing his commitment to his son. And then by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we see that as well. Zechariah and Elizabeth saw their most important possession, their first child, was not theirs, but God's. We read in Psalm 127, whenever I get the privilege, and it is a privilege, to go visit families who have babies, I bring them to Psalm 127, and I read verses 3 and 4, which says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward." And we praise God for that. But he goes on, he says, "Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth." And I remind the parents that arrows are meant to be let go. Yes, you take care of those arrows. You make sure they're straight. You take care of the very possession that you have, which was very important to a warrior, that their arrows were good and that they were going to shoot straight and they weren't going to break and all those things. But they ultimately knew that an arrow was meant to be let go. Zechariah and Elizabeth teach us that the very possessions that we have, even our children, are to be dedicated to the Lord, not to what the world tells us. Do you believe this? Do you believe this about your children? Do you believe this about your job? Do you believe this about your possessions? They all are God's and to be given to the glory of God. Whatever you have. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." Whatever you have is to be to the glory of God. Do you believe that? Throughout the Old Testament, and Zechariah and Elizabeth would have known. No doubt Mary would have known because she quotes Hannah in 1 Samuel. But look at Hannah in the Old Testament. Zechariah would have studied her like crazy. But Hannah said this about her son Samuel. And she said, "Oh my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence praying to you. talking about how she prayed for a child. She so badly wanted a child. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Hannah knew that Samuel was not hers. She had the privilege of raising up Samuel, but Samuel was God's. Abraham taught us this as well, of Isaac in Genesis 22, as we come to a close. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven. And he said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply your offspring, the stars of the heaven, the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gates of his enemies." The Lord was telling Abraham that because he would offer up his son Isaac, that he did not withdraw his son. As God stopped him from sacrificing his son, he showed him the blessing he would receive. We learn from Zechariah and Elizabeth that our possessions are to be dedicated to the Lord, to his glory. These traditions, as I close, these ways by which the world tells us to do something isn't necessarily the way God would want it. What motivates you, follower of Christ? What motivates you as a follower of Jesus Christ? Paul tells us what his motivation was. One of the greatest Christians that ever lived on this earth, planted churches throughout the world. What was his motivation? We see in 2 Corinthians 5:14, "For the love of Christ compels me." We see these new parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth. They received something they had been praying for their whole lives. God answered them in his time and for his purpose. But I get the distinct impression that Zechariah and Elizabeth, as followers of God, who happen to now be parents, found their identity in God. They found their identity in who they followed. Do you? It's very easy to find your identity in your job. It's very easy to find your identity in your kids, or to be a mom or a dad or whatever it is. Very easy to find our identity there. Yet Zechariah and Elizabeth show us that our identity is to be found in Christ. Before you know Christ, you have a God-shaped hole in your heart that can only be filled by God. Jesus desires to give you a new heart. So what do you do? You may be here thinking, well, what do I do? What do I do? What do I have to ask? Well, Romans 10, 9 through 11 tells us, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Confess that Jesus is Lord. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins, and he will fill that identity that has been misplaced. And for those of us who have placed our trust in Christ, Zechariah and Elizabeth show us to follow God's word, not our tradition, to preach God's word, not our tradition, and to dedicate everything to him, not our tradition. I love the opportunities for kids to come up here. The question is just a one-time thing? Or is this going on in your houses every day, as God would command us to do? My hope and prayer is that Christmas wouldn't be a time where we just bring up the kids, show them off, but that we would all join together proclaiming God's love through Jesus Christ every day to them and to everybody we know. May God bless you, parents. May God bless you, individuals. May God bless you, single people, you teenagers or whoever. God desires for you to follow Him. Will you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. For it's in your word we get our hope. It's through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we receive our salvation. And it's by the Holy Spirit that we are guaranteed our inheritance. You are so good, God. And we are thankful for examples in our lives. We are thankful for Zechariah and Elizabeth as they show us what it means to follow you. We thank you, God, that you would put this in your word to draw us to the cross and our need for you and your grace. Oh, God, we have so much to do to glorify you. We would ask that by through the Holy Spirit that you would grant us the repentance and the desire to see people come to know you. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.